This literally can't get worse. It can't get worse. When you think of the depths of hell, we are there. We are on the basement floor.
Going on, happy Tuesday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a minute, myself and Trace Fowler from a painful, heartbreaking episode of Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the Reds game from last night. Reds taking on the Diamondbacks, 9:40 p.m. Eastern start time. This game got over very late. Game one of a three-game series during the Reds' 10-game road trip out west. Graham Ashcraft got the ball for the Reds. He worked around a couple base runners in the bottom of the first, but then in the bottom of the second, he gave up a solo home run. It was a missile hit to right center field by Gabriel Moreno. Moreno's first home run of the season, 1-0 Diamondbacks. But at the top of the third, Santiago Espinal led off with a single. Later in the inning, Ellie De La Cruz worked a two-out walk, laid off several tough curveballs, and that got Spencer Steer to the plate. And Spencer Steer put a beautiful swing on a sinker, driving the ball the other way to right field for a two-runs batted in double, 2-1 Reds. But unfortunately, as we've saw way too often of late, that lead did not last long. Graham Ashcraft gave up a leadoff home run to Jock Peterson, hit about 6 miles to center field. Then he later gave up another run after loading the bases and giving up a sac fly, making it 3-2 Diamondbacks. Ashcraft would just last 4 innings on the day, had to throw 94 pitches just to get through those 4 innings, gave up 7 hits and 3 walks, did somehow, despite 10 base runners in 4 innings, only give up 3 earned runs, but nonetheless, his day was done. Emilio Pagan came in next. He actually threw a perfect 5th inning, striking out the side, looked very sharp on Tuesday night. And then in the top of the 6th, Tyler Stevenson doubled with 1 out. Jamer Candelario singled. Stevenson had to hold up at 3rd, but then Mike Ford snuck a single. He just hit it 63 miles per hour off the bat between the 3rd base and the shortstop. Reds came back to tie the game at 3. Brent Suter then threw a scoreless 6th. We go to the top of the 7th, still tied 3-3. Some really tough base running in this inning. Jonathan India walked, but then for some reason, he tried to steal on a 3-0 count with Ellie De La Cruz at the plate. One of the best catchers in terms of throwing out base stealers, led the National League in caught stealing percentage. Of course, India was thrown out. Then Ellie De La Cruz smoked a ball to the outfield, but Ellie made too big of a turn, couldn't slam on the brakes quick enough, ended up getting caught in a rundown. So back-to-back outs on the base paths for the Reds in the top of the 7th. And it bit them quickly because in the bottom of the 7th, Fernando Cruz did strike out, arguably the Diamondbacks' 2 best hitters, in Ketel Marte and Jock Peterson, but then he walked 2 straight batters, and with 2 outs, Eugenio Suarez singled home a run to make it 4-3 Diamondbacks. But in the top of the 8th, the Reds wouldn't quit. Spencer Steer had a leadoff walk. Jamer Candelario ripped the ball right at center fielder Corbin Carroll. They actually called it a catch on the field, and it looked for a second like the Reds got doubled up to end the inning, but replay clearly showed the ball was trapped. Tie game at 4. Then Mike Ford, the next batter, smoked the ball off the wall. It took a big bounce. Ford tripled. Reds took a 5-4 lead. In the bottom of the 8th, this was a wild game. So much happened in this one. Justin Wilson came in. He gave up a single to Kevin Newman. Hit number 3 on the day at the time for Kevin Newman. Hit Corbin Carroll with the pitch, but then he struck out Ketel Marte and Jock Peterson. Jock Peterson and Diamondbacks manager Torey Lovello both got ejected, as it was probably not strike 3. Then Lucas Sims came in. He got a weak ground ball from Christian Walker right back to him to end the inning. Reds held on to a 5-4 lead. All right, Reds went quietly in the top of the 9th, and then the Reds turned it over to Alexis Diaz. And unfortunately, Alexis Diaz was not sharp at all. Diaz hit the first batter, Gurriel, right in the ribs on the very first pitch. He was then able to get some help with the next batter, Eugenio Suarez swung at ball four, and then on the next pitch hit a sharp liner right at left fielder Spencer Steer. Alexis Diaz then walked Gabriel Moreno on a full count. He walked Jake McCarthy on just five pitches, and that loaded the bases with one out for Kevin Newman. And Newman hit a single to right field, just 64 miles an hour off the bat, but it got down, two runs scored. Reds lose 6-5, Kevin Newman's fourth hit of the game. Diaz threw just 9 of his 21 pitches for strikes. The Reds, they've now lost 11 of 12 games. Reds went from 16-13 on April 30th to 17-24 on May 14th. The Reds are now incredibly an MLB worst 1-9 in one-run games this season. After the game, here's what David Bell had to say.
Category of a heartbreaker.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we, you know, felt we were going to win it the whole game. You know, came back and put ourselves in a nice position to win the game. And yeah, Alexis has been so good for us on so many occasions. And those games are going to happen for him. And you know, he's been really good. You know, and that's what a team's for. So we come back tomorrow, pick him up, and obviously it wasn't just him, but you know, we're so used to seeing him get the job done in that situation, but you know, obviously that happens, and like I said, he's been really good for us.
When he has been off this season, it looks like he's way off. When you, like a night like tonight, what do you see from your vantage point?
Yeah, I mean, we know that, you know, walks or, you know, and when you don't have your command, that can lead to problems. But like I said, he's been so good. He's going to have nights like that. So, you know, not one person in that clubhouse thinks, you know, it's a team effort. And yeah, he's picked us up many, many times.
And here's Alexis Diaz through interpreter Jorge Morelos.
How did it unravel for you there in the ninth?
I mean, I just didn't attack the zone, and you see what the results happen when I don't attack the zone.
Especially when the team is trying so hard to get out of this rut, is it extra hard to not get the job done on a night like tonight when it was there for you?
No. I don't think it's hard. It's just that you have to come back to the ballpark every day and give it all your best and make sure that you're consistent with how you go out there and pitch. And, you know, we're in a little bit of a rut, but I know that this team is good enough that we'll be back out of that rut and we'll be able to compete again and win these games.
You mentioned not attacking the zone tonight. It seems like there's been maybe a few of those games. Does it feel different? How much different does it feel to you than it did, say, the first half of last year? And you feel like you're struggling?
I don't think I'm any different from last year. And not, I mean, as you mentioned, I was attacking the zone last year very well, and this year I'm a little bit, you know, there are pitches that are going wild a little bit, but you know, I'm still trying to attack the zone as best as possible. But those things are going to change here coming up soon.
All right. Well, Mike Ford's go-ahead triple looked like it was going to be one of the biggest hits of the season for the Reds in the eighth inning. Had an exit velocity of 104.1 off the bat with 390 feet. Fortunately, it didn't turn out to be the game winner, but it is still our deep drive of the day, and our deep drive of the day sponsored, as always, by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. All right, checking out scores around the NL Central. The Brewers, they lost 8-6 to the Pirates. Cubs lost 2-0 to the Braves. Here, NL Central standings on Tuesday morning. Brewers are 24-17. Cubs 24-18. Pirates 19-23. And the Reds now 17-24, tied with the Cardinals for fourth place or last place if you're a glass half full, glass half empty kind of person. Reds are 7 games back. Padres did lose at home to the Rockies, so the Reds remain 3.5 back of the NL wildcard spot. All right, well, here is myself and Trace Fowler trying to make sense of it all. We thought we were about to have a really fun show talking about a thrilling Reds win. Instead, it was an absolutely gut-punching defeat. As always, we do it for all 162 games. Here is our instant reaction to the game. Stick around at the end. I'll tell you about the Reds minor league action from Monday night, and we'll preview Tuesday evening's Reds game.
All right, Nick, we just experienced really one of the lowest points of the show. I'm sure we're going to do our best to do a show tonight, but it's 1:03 in the morning, Nick. We just watched Kevin Newman walk off the Reds. Got 3 hits tonight. This is low, Nick. I don't know if we... I personally don't think we've ever been lower, but we'll do our best to be professionals tonight and do a show.
Yeah, this sucks. Not a lot of fun right now.
No, but there was some things we can talk about. This team had chances. Let's do a show. I mean, I got a lot. I'm processing a lot, and I'm going to do my best not to overreact. I think... I think that there's going to be certainly a significant amount of population of the Reds fan base. And when I say a significant, I mean the ones that are watching, that are diehards, that are tuning in at 1:10 at night to watch a Reds postgame show when they're absolutely abysmal. Is at some point, you know, the leadership needs to come through. I don't know who the hell the leader is, but there needs to be some semblance of like, we expect to win. Right now, we're hoping to win. We're hoping to make plays, and that's how I feel when I watch this game. It's like wishful thinking everywhere. I do give some credit to Jamer Candelario. I actually think that he's playing well right now. But I just think that I just don't know if we're good. I'll be honest. I keep thinking that. I don't know if we are. So maybe I should just stop ranting every single night and just say this is who we are. But the base running mistakes each night, that's what pisses me off the most. I don't know where you want to go with this, Nick, but I think, you know, you find yourself in a position where the Diamondbacks, they steal second base right on Fernando Cruz. Now, ultimately, they didn't score, but it was a winning play. They made a winning play there. And then we decided to try to steal on 3-0. And I'm not trying to hang Indy out to dry. He's not the only reason that they, you know, unfortunately didn't win this baseball game. But it's just a good microcosm. It's a good microcosm of what exactly has been going on, which is not only is it bad decision-making, but it's also just bad execution. One thing to make a bad decision, it's a whole other thing not to be able to get yourself through it by executing. Kind of reminds me of when you take a bad shot in basketball. You could take a bad shot in basketball, but if you at least make a couple of them every so often, it doesn't feel as bad. Right now, the Reds aren't making a damn thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hate to be that guy to say that this Reds baseball team isn't that great, but they're just not. There's, you know, Espinal's has a 3-1 pitch or a 2-1 pitch, and he just slaps a little weak ground ball to second base, and it's just like, what's the plan there? But I know I'm getting into the weeds here early, but I don't know. I don't. I'd be interested to see, like, your overall thoughts on the game as a whole and. Kind of like we'll bounce around from there.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's always been something. There's just always something that goes wrong. And just like last year when you win 12 in a row, there's always something that goes right. When you lose this many in a row or this many in a 12-game stretch, there's something that always goes wrong. There was a lot of big clutch hits in this game. Red still left a few base runners in the game. So did the Diamondbacks, though. Diamondbacks, I'm sure, early in the game, thought they should have got a lot more off Ashcraft. They should have got a lot more off Ashcraft. But, you know, the part of the issue, and it's hard to crush like a guy like Graham Ashcraft because he's been solid all year, but he only goes 4 innings in this game. And, you know, if he had gone a little bit deeper, you might have had someone that could have bailed out Diaz. We could have, when you saw him come in, hit the first batter, then walk another batter, you could have been like, hey, maybe we should get someone up. But who's left? I don't even know who's left. I mean, they pretty much went through the entire bullpen. They had an extra inning game Sunday in San Francisco. So the Ashcraft going short also kind of left you to live with whatever Diaz gave you. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's frustrating because there were so many good moments in this game. It sucks. You go from about ready to have a really fun show. Everyone's going to be excited. Hey, that was a really nice win for the Reds. They needed that too. Just an absolutely demoralizing loss.
Yeah, this isn't the right way to go about this, but I really would just like someone to come out and say this is that'd be kind of cool. Now, whether or not they will or not, I don't know. Whether or not they're saying that behind closed doors, I don't know. Maybe it's, again, maybe it's just to make me feel better. Maybe it's just to make me feel better. Maybe it doesn't matter at all. But I just like someone to come in a post-game press conference and just say this is absolute bull. The way we're playing right now is not even remotely close to what a Major League Baseball team should look like. And we're just probably going to mumble our through the press conference and sit here and suggest, like, you know, we're trying really hard. We're going to do our best. We're going to come out there tomorrow. We're going to give it our best shot. And you know what? If that's the way you want to go about it, go ahead. I mean, just keep on doing the same old see if it works out. Because it seems like the last 2 weeks, we just sit here and act like everything's all sunshine and roses and rainbows, and we're going to be perfectly fine. And here we go. We'll trot back out on the field tomorrow, and we'll go get them, killer. Do your best, guys. Just do your best. At some point, I'd like for there to be somebody getting their chewed when they decide that they're just going to run on a 3-0 count with Ellie De La Cruz at the plate trying to steal second base when you're slow as it'd be one thing if he was like Deion Sanders, but he's not. So what's his plan? It's a 3-0 count. What do you think he's going to throw? A breaking ball in the dirt? Is he going to try to fool him? No, he's throwing a fastball right down the middle to the best catcher in the game to throw you out, and that's what he did. And then what happens on the very next pitch? You hit a ball in the gap. You have first and third, one out. Ellie steals second. You got second and third, one out, and you wonder why in the hell you can't win any games because those runs matter. Those runs matter. But we don't get a chance to have those runs because we're just out here running the bases like little leaguers, and that's disrespectful to little leaguers. Now, again, we do the same song and dance each and every night, every single day. You think to yourself, if you listen to this podcast, you're like, well, I've heard this episode before. Yeah, you have. You've heard it for the last week and a half. And you know what? I don't have anything left for him. Because at some point, someone has to come out and just say, we've got to be better. And if it's not the manager, then let it be a player. I don't give a damn who has to do it, but at least just set, make us feel better about it. Maybe just lie to our face and say you give a damn when you don't. Now, I do think they care. I seen that Fernando Cruz was so invested into that base hit. Now, some might say, well, it's because it's because of his statistics, etc. I don't think so. I think there's a vast majority of these guys that genuinely want to get out of this stretch. Of course they do. But I just think back at the greatest players of all time, and maybe I'm wrong for thinking this, but I don't know. If someone's going to laugh at this analogy, maybe it's a little bit of a jest, and maybe I'm trying to prove a point, and it's a little bit funny. But, you know, I'm just trying to think to myself, if Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, you name the players that are the greatest players of all time. I'm sure they'd walk into the press conference today after 2 weeks of getting their tails kicked and think, you know, everything's perfectly fine. But meanwhile, the leader that I was told that I had, he's out here trying to steal bases on 3-0 pitches right down the middle. And you know what? He's played a little bit better of late, so I'm not trying to kill him. But by God, I just, you know, throw me a bone every once in a while. Let the guys that are, you know, perhaps want to see bats thrown around the dugout from time to time. If we can't win in 2 weeks, maybe we should try something different. But, you know, that's just me. I could be wrong, to be fair. And I know, Nick, you don't really believe in all that, and that's perfectly fine. I'm not saying you need to, but we're at a point now where what gives is what I'm asking. And maybe it's just you just keep playing and it'll all work itself out. And at some point, you know, these balls will start dropping. But is it luck or is it just the way they play? That's my question.
Again, if Alexis Diaz jumps his job tonight, there's none of these conversations. So that's where I kind of like, I get what you're saying. It might make everyone feel better to, you know, throw a temper tantrum in the dugout to, you know, go scream in the press conference. But it's still a game of inches. I don't know. It's just not a lot of.
Well, it'd be right nice now. if he had a couple run cushion too. Yeah, that'd be cool. But we give away opportunities. We can't get, you know, can't ultimately find a way to push across. We did score 5 runs. I'll give him credit for that. But heaven forbid we get to 7 or 8. But yeah, I hear you. I understand what you're getting at. But I mean, that's another thing. Diaz is. I mean, how many he threw 4 strikes, whatever it was, 5 strikes.
9 strikes out of 21 pitches. Yeah, I mean, we had concerns with Diaz coming into the year. He kind of always keeps doing enough to make you feel okay. And I don't know. Is this the worst? Is this the worst blown save?
No, it can't be. It can't be the worst one because it's only one run. But I understand what you're saying, though. No, yeah, I think the worst one he's ever had that I've watched is when he came in and he bet against Pittsburgh personally last year. That was last year. We know what day that was. But I'll be honest, I don't know if that day was worse than this day. It's neck and neck at this point. Now, I would like to think it's last year because we had more to lose, but here we are. I don't know. Where do you want to start? I mean, I think that we can obviously get into some stuff. Candelario, Steer, and India, you have them on the rundown. They had some big moments in this game. India, unfortunately, ruined it off because he decided he was going to try to steal a bag from me. But Candelario does look a lot better, a lot more comfortable. And he looks like the guy we thought we were going to get when we first got him through free agency.
Yeah, Candelario was great. I mean, he had three hard hit balls tonight. One of them was 107 off the bat. So he's definitely swinging the bat a lot better. And, you know, whether this season ever becomes anything or not, it's definitely trending towards a direction where the season's not going anywhere. They're not completely dead, but I mean, it's going to take a pretty miraculous effort to turn this around, but you still have Candelario for 3 years. So what Candelario does, it matters. So it's good to see him playing well. It's a huge hit, from Spencer Steer early in this game. You know, after the Reds had fallen behind 1-0 early in the game, it was a 2-out hit. Jonathan India, 3 times on base today. It feels like there's been so many of these guys, Trace, that it's like, man, they really did this good thing. Yeah. But there's always a but right after it, right? And that's just kind of been the name of the game this season. I don't know.
It feels like if the Reds could get the opposite situations that have been happening of late and they made the winning play versus the losing play or the, you know, whatever you want to call it, the some of it has been misfortune. But I'm tired of saying it's all misfortune. But my point is that this is the situation where if it were to be in reverse, they win like 88 or 89 games this year. And instead, they win 71 because of it just went the complete opposite way. I mean, at this point, it is what it is. They've dug themselves such a big hole that it's going to take damn near a miracle. And I think that's the only word that comes to my mind to try to get us back into a situation where we feel like playoffs are a real possibility. And I know someone's going to tell me we're only 5 games out of the wild card or 4 games out of the wild card, but it's more or less just the way this team looks. And maybe they just need a win. That's the other thing too. I will say is it feels like this team just needs to see one go through the net, and they need to find a way to just to see one win. And they got one the other day. I get that, but they really need to win a tough one run baseball game that finally goes their way. They kind of need to get the monkey off their back, and it just seems like they can't get it off.
You saying they need to win a baseball game where they trailed 1-0, then trailed 3-2, then right. Trailed 4-3 and fought all the way back.
Yeah,
a game like that, is that what you're trying to?
That's
hit
what
at?
I'm trying to hit at. Yeah, it seemed like tonight was a night that could have got them back on track, and they just can't find a way to win these games. More of the same, yeah. And it's just so frustrating because I just you're right. That's the one thing that you're right about is that every single one of these guys outside of maybe Will Benson, and I'm not trying to single him out, but I'm trying to think of all of these guys tonight did something positive. They did do something positive. It's just unfortunate that they just didn't do quite enough, and maybe you could put a Diaz in there as well. But
Benson even had a walk. I think everyone got on base Everyone got on base that started in this game. Single player. Got on base that started this game. The only guy that didn't get on base was Jake Fraley. You know what? Probably doesn't deserve a pass either if we're going through. He had an at-bat with runner on third, one out, struck out on 3 pitches. I think 2 of them were out of the zone. Kind of flew under the radar because the Reds had already taken the lead, right? I think it wasn't in that 8th inning. I don't know. There's so much that happened in this game. It's hard to go back. I'm going to try to pull it up now.
Who are you speaking on?
So yeah, it was Jake. So right after Mike Ford tripled,
yes,
Fraley came to the plate, And he struck out on three pitches. Two of them, right. One of them was completely out. Two of them were out of the zone. One of them was bounced. It was blocked. Struck out on three. Yeah, I mean, that was
that's
a huge
big
run.
At bat. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, so you could talk about the base running, but I mean, that was just one of the worst at bats of the season. I mean, and he's been Fraley's been good for overall. He hasn't been bad, but that was a brutal spot.
I think pressure's getting to these guys. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah.
I think pressure's getting to these guys. Listen, honest fan, I know you're the leader of the club of the Will Benson fan club, brother, but, you know, he says Trace is always hating on Benson. Well, I mean, shit, you go for four every night, and you're swinging balls that are 3 feet outside. It's hard not to bring it up, be a little bit of a hater. I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm just saying. At some point, these guys got to be, they got to look competent up there or else they don't really belong in the big leagues. And, you know, that's the only other thing I would say about this team right now is I do think that this fan base gives certain players like the benefit of the doubt that they give certain players the benefit of the doubt when they've not really proven at the big league level over a decent stretch of baseball or decent, you know, amount of time. And there's really not that many guys on this club. Candelario, of all people, honestly, is probably the one that you would say that has probably the most pedigree when it comes to the back of a baseball card. And half this town wanted to ship him out. So it's like, you know, I don't know. It's just an interesting dynamic that we have right now to where it's like, you know, Will Benson was fantastic last year towards the end of last year. And that's probably one of the reasons why the Reds overachieved. And I think that's the right term to use. I think last year this Reds team did overachieve. And we're starting to reap the sour grapes part of this whole situation, which is when they regress, not only are they regressing to the mean of the average, but they're regressing even below what they should be doing. And then it's a devastating drop. Now it feels like just a crazy drop. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to kill anybody, to be honest with you. And I mean, the fact that I just watched Kevin Newman have to break my heart is just, I'm going to have to do some. Just, I don't know. There's going to be a coming to Jesus moment here before I go to bed tonight on what I did, what I've done in my life to make me deserve this.
The Game Time app is now an authorized ticket marketplace for Major League Baseball. That makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. With killer last minute deals, all in pricing, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. With all in pricing, you can toggle this feature and it shows you the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. The lowest price guarantee or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code Cincy for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code Cincy, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. And we also want to remind you that you can call or text 988 at any time, day or night. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is a place to get support for anything related to mental health. Whether it's an immediate crisis, simply wanting to find out how to connect with care, or anything in between, it's a 100% confidential, secure, and anonymous way to reach out for help when you don't know where else to turn. To connect, call or text 988 or visit mantherapy.org to get help. It's okay not to be okay. I don't want to say Kevin Newman heard about the, you know, the cement feet jokes that were constantly thrown around, but it sure felt personal tonight. Felt personal, Trace.
I'll tell you what, he reminded me of Jonathan India on that ball up the middle where he took like two steps and then dove for it and spun around and flipped it to the second baseman like he made a great play. And it was like, well, Ellie De La Cruz would have probably caught that behind his back. But I don't know. I mean, give Kevin Newman some credit. I'm as much as I joke about him, you know, good for him. I mean, he made plays when it mattered, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, he started out in the minor leagues this year, started out AAA with the Diamondbacks, yep. Got an opportunity, their shortstop got hurt, and he's making the most of it, so yep. I'm sure it felt good for him tonight, I'll tell you that.
No, he's feeling great. He's feeling great, and it's good for him. It's his crowning baseball achievement. He'll be telling his grandkids about May 14th, deep into the morning. He found a way to beat the Cincinnati Reds. Let's get into Ashcraft. I'll tell you this. Tonight, the Reds, they dodged a lot of bullets, and I also think that the Reds pitching staff as a whole wasn't very good. They didn't perform horrifically, but I didn't think Ashcraft was very good. I didn't think that, I guess Cruz wasn't really all that great either. He kind of got out of a jam, but that's here nor there. But your overall thoughts on Ashcraft?
Yeah, he was not very good tonight. I have no idea how he only gave up 3 earned runs. I mean, he gave up a ton of hard hit balls, 2 home runs and 7 hits, 3 walks, and he only somehow get out with 3 earned runs. So, I mean, I guess credit them for that. It feels like Ashcraft has a lot of times this year really danced around trouble. I mean, he has a 4.12 ERA, so he's not been terrible, but I don't think that a lot of what Ashcraft keeps doing is sustainable. I think you put 10 runners on base, you're going to get bit. And he's really going to get bit some, you know, late in the summer when the weather gets warmer. It's just funny, Trace. I mean, the best 2 pitchers for the Reds tonight were Emilio Pagani, struck out the side. Right. And Lucas Sims got a huge out in this game. Christian Walker, really good hitter. Hit the ball out of the ballpark, got a super weak ground ball right back to him. It's just like, man, can any of this sink up, right?
Yeah, well, to be fair to Pagan, he did get everybody out that he faced last night. And by last night, I mean the other, you know, day game. But they obviously took him out. So, and then Lucas Sims was what? He got 1 pitch, and he kind of got a little bit of an excuse me swing, a little check swing that got him out of the inning. So that was nice to see. That felt like a break. And I tell you what, it felt like the Diamondbacks didn't play their best game either, to be fair to them. And it's almost like their fan base, if they would have lost this game, they would have been doing the same thing we're doing right now, which is they just let every opportunity in the world go by, and they couldn't capitalize on anything, and they hit some balls hard, and it just didn't go their way. But the good news for their fan base is they've not been doing this for a week and a half or 2 weeks or whatever the hell it's been for us. We've been doing this for a while, so it'd have been nice to get a bone thrown our way, but it's just not the case right now. Ashcraft, I'm not worried about him, but he did look, you know, probably the worst I've seen him all season. But a stat line was good, so what's it matter, I guess? I guess that's part of it.
Yeah, I mean, this felt like one of these games that, if you would have won this game 5-4, probably one of the ones you didn't really deserve to win.
Correct.
But it feels like the Reds deserve to win one of these games that they don't deserve to win, right?
Yep.
It's just, I don't know.
It 100% feels that way, Nick. I mean, at some point, you just got to run into a win on accident, you know? Broken clocks, right, twice a day, as they say. You'd like to think that, you know, even if we're broken clock, we're going to be right at some point here. It feels like we're at a point in the season where I don't know. I just, something has to give, I guess. And I don't really know what that would be. And I don't think it's going to be firing David Bell. I know that's what everybody in the chat wants, but I don't think that does a whole lot, man. I don't. Now, I will say that I guess the things that I'm asking for theoretically should come from the manager. But I also was told that we have a good clubhouse culture. I was told that we have a good, you know, a relatively pretty good leadership group of players. And my question is at some point that leadership group needs to show up and demand better baseball. It doesn't mean that they're going to win, but by golly, I'd like to think at some point we could just at least make the right play. Make the heads up baseball play. And it just seems like time and time again, this base running is just becoming like almost a bit. Like you just can't believe it's this bad. And yet we do it every single night and there's no repercussions. And we'll just do it again tomorrow. Open for business.
I got a question for you. I was kind of thinking this at the time. I was feeding the baby when it happened, so I wasn't completely dialed in, but yeah. Ellie De La Cruz, the one where he made that big turn, it almost felt like he was in his own head on that. Did you get that feeling?
No, like I think he would have been out. I think that Ellie gets in his mind that he's got to be superhero And damn near he might need to be. I'm not trying to make excuse for Ellie, but he's always thinking in his mind that he's got to be aggressive and he's got to make the home run play. He to give him credit, he busted out of the box. He made a good turn, and by the good turn, he probably took what, two or three extra steps. And I would also say you got to give the other, you know, got to give the other club some credit. They made a good throw to second base. The second baseman was aware. Marte made a strong throw to first. He was out. He would have been out even if he went back to the bag. And, you know, but it's just like my thing with Ellie. At some point, I'd like for him to be wise enough to know he can try to steal second base too. Like he doesn't need to always try to make it all up in one play. And you know what? Like that wasn't the most, I've already said it. That wasn't the most frustrating part of that whole thing, because I think that this, there's a domino effect of all these things that have happened. And if you don't have, put it this way, if you don't have a guy trying to steal second base on 3-0, we probably aren't even getting that situation. My guess is that they're going to try to make a play to third base on a first and third, and or Ellie would have been wise enough to say, you know what, I'm just going to steal second base on this next pitch. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm giving too many excuses for Ellie. He made a bad play, but to me, you just can't try to steal second base with a 3-0 count. I don't want to say ever, but I don't get it.
With Ellie De La Cruz at the plate against a right-handed pitcher, too. That one's got to be up there as the toughest one of the season, because that wasn't, I don't know, that wasn't just trying to make a play. It's, I don't know. And, you know,
what was he thinking?
What was the point? Maybe India thought that he had like stole the base off the pitcher. Maybe he thought, I'm going to get such a good jump. I've got this 100%. It wasn't one of those like, I'm trying to, you know, make a play. I'm guessing in his head, he felt almost 100% confident. I've timed this up or you know, whatever, you know, gets in those type of plays. I'm going to for sure be able to steal this base here. That's my thought. But obviously it didn't work. So.
I don't know. Maybe, and again, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but I would love to ask India what the logic was there. Because he has logic that I don't understand. Because it's one thing to try to steal on a breaking ball or an off-speed pitch. It's 3-0. What do you think they're going to throw? And secondarily to that, my guess is that if you steal second base, they're going to walk Ellie on purpose. So, you know, I guess maybe you could say he's got steer behind him, and that's all well and good. But it just, again, I don't know. We could sit here and moan and groan about the one play that India made, but there was other plays that could have been had. Like you said, Jake Fraley's got to find a way to get a guy in from third base. It's just team stinks right now, and it's frustrating. I really don't know what else to say. Herdebees, you got called up. We were calling for it. You were calling for it specifically. I was on that bandwagon as well. He got a chance to pitch run for Mike Ford in the late in the game. Didn't get a chance to hit, of course. But you know, good for him, by the way. What a good story he is. He came from, like I said, he had to grind his whole way up here. He wasn't on the Austin Hendricks train where you get to strike out 27,000 times and still be in the organization. He finds a way to get on base, and hopefully he'll do that for the Cincinnati Reds, because it sounds like TJ Friedl isn't going to be back anytime soon. Why? Well, because you know why? Because, you know, the x-rays turned out that they weren't negative. Turns out they weren't inconclusive. Turns out the guy just has a broken thumb. So there is that.
Yeah, Friedl, I mean, it's just brutal. Just absolutely brutal. One of the players you were really counting on, one of the top three or four offensive overall players, position players overall. So brutal for him, but really cool for Jacob Herdebees. Got the privilege of talking to him a couple months ago, and just really love his story. And I hope the Reds play him. I hope they give him a chance. What do you have to lose right now, right? I mean, this is a guy that makes contact, had over a 500 on base percentage last year at Louisville. He could be a, you know, a real spark plug, I think, for this team offensively. So I hope they give him a chance. Especially against you know, right-handed pitchers, which they're going to see the next 2 days. I hope he's in the lineup. I don't know. I'm really happy that they made this move. It felt like Herdebees deserved to be on this roster earlier in the year and just unfortunately got hurt. I'm glad they didn't, you know, make him go back and kind of prove it again in Louisville. I think they did the right thing. They did the right thing by Jacob Hurtubise. I think they did the right thing for their team. So this one individual move, good all around. Love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's something, right? I don't know, I feel like we are, we're in a situation where we're looking around right now, and I think that the answer is right in front of us, and we don't like the answer, so we continue to just poke around and see if we can't figure out maybe a different way to figure out the problem that we know probably isn't going to fix it. And that is that we need some players to come up that can really elevate this club right now, or we need to get lucky, and we need to start, kind of like you said before, we need to execute on the same nights, and that's just not happened. So at this point, at least Hurtubise's fresh blood, something to watch, a good story. Kind of as sad as this is to say, it's some semblance of maybe what we were hoping for last year when all these guys got called up. It's like, the Reds might not win a lot of games last year is what we would say. But at least we got something to look forward to. Like, there's some guys that we get a chance to watch. It makes things interesting. I guess if nothing else, in this losing stretch of baseball that is the Reds, we got a new guy to check out, and his name's Hurtubise, and he's got a pretty good story behind him. So, you know, I guess it's something that we can have a little bit of a half glass full look at. But right now, my glass is—it's not half full; it's empty because I've anything that's in front of me right now, I'm just going to drink it. There's that.
Yeah, if there was one thing right now, maybe organizationally with the Reds, if you want to look at an issue, is that the Reds don't have any additional depth right now at AA and AAA. They have a loaded roster at Dayton. I think they have some really good players down at Daytona. They got some good players in the complex lead. So I think they're building up that depth. But this is kind of where they've hit that wall, and just like, maybe over the next several years, one of the most unfortunate times to have a rash of energy of injuries, because you just don't have, you know, that prospect that he's coming up. And that's why I think it's, you know, very important for the Reds to continue to build like this ridiculous pipeline like the Rays have. When the Rays have injuries, you're like, oh man, how are the Rays surviving all these injuries? Well, it's because they have player after player. Their AAA team's great. Their AA team's great. Their high A team's great. And, you know, the Reds right now, their AA team is really, really bad. So the Reds need this group of players right now to be good and stay healthy, because they don't really have a lot for at least another year and a half. But I do think after that, it looks very promising that you're going to hopefully get into that situation where you have team after team, player after player that you continue to, you know, cycle through and bring up. Hopefully the Reds are able to get to that point sooner rather than later and stay with it.
Yeah. And listen, I think that I want to get ahead of some stuff here. I don't think there's a whole lot that can fix this club. There's too many holes. You know what I'm saying? It's like, the insurance appraiser, they come check out the car, they come check out the house, right? And they look at the goods, they look at the damaged goods. And sometimes what do? They say, well, I hate to break this to you, but this is a total loss. I hate to break this to you, but you know, this unfortunately can't be repaired. You're just gonna have to start fresh, and you're gonna have to have a whole new outlook of this. That's how I feel about this team right now. I really don't think we can go out and get one or two guys. It's gonna fix anything. Team's not well rounded enough to, in my opinion, to get us in a spot where that can help. So when we get down towards here, you know, maybe midway through the season, if things don't go the way that obviously we're hoping, and you know what, it's still there's still this outside chance of hope. I guess it feels like we're down 20 points with about 9 minutes left in a football game. It's bleak. It's pretty bleak. But you're not turning the TV off yet. You're close, but you're not there yet. That's how this feels right now. And my only thing is this: let's not also act like. This is, I've said this before, I'm going to say it one more time. Let's not act like this is exactly what we expected to have this year. If I'll tell you this, if we were playing this type of baseball and we had Matt McClain and we had Noelvé Marte and we had TJ Friedl in there every single day and we had a healthy Fraley and a healthy Fairchild, which he's been healthy, but we have Spencer Steer, we have Jonathan India, we have CES. If that was the case, then I think at that point it's okay to sit here and say, you know what, this is really bad. But that's not what it is. And I'm not suggesting for a single second that we can't be pissed off, that we can't want better, because we've been told for far too long that, oh, you know, just be patient. We're all, the vast majority of us are done being patient. And I think that's more than fair. However, I also think it's more than fair to suggest that this isn't what we thought we were going to have. And I think that keeping that in the back of the mind is also very refreshing and will help. So when we get down towards the end of the year, let's not get over and beyond and ahead of ourselves when we start trading Fernando Cruz of the world and things like that. Because point is that it is what it is. If they're not going to be able to turn it around relatively soon, it doesn't matter who we're getting at the trade deadline or who we're getting at the midway point of the year, whether that be McLean in August or whether it be Nuelve after he serves his 80 games or TJ Friedl's back when he gets back. It's not going to matter. So hope I'm wrong. That's my final thoughts on the whole situation of, well, let's go get somebody. I just don't think that's going to fix anything.
Yeah, the man, the Reds are not one player away from being a completely different roster right now. I mean, look, the 2011 Reds are the perfect example. 2010, you win the division. Obviously, last year, the Reds didn't win the division, but, you know, you felt like you were building something kind of similar to 2010. And then 2011 just was a year where literally everything went wrong. Ended up finishing 79-83. They were bad in one-run games. And the next year, they turned around and win 97 games. So each baseball season is its own entity. You want this nice, smooth upward trajectory, but it just rarely works like that. Especially when you're building a team, you know, full of young players. So I don't think it's anywhere close to, you know, being panicked about the future, being panicked about 2024. Yeah. I mean, it's probably time. I think the Reds playoff odds right now sit about 10%. I will say last year they were 2.1% on this day. Reds projected win total right now, 77 games. This time last year was 72. And I know there's not Elly De La Cruz, Matt McLain, and Noel V. Marte coming up, but there also is a lot stronger rotation than there was last year. There is a real strength in this rotation, 1-5. When they do get through this difficult stretch, you know, you are going to have some weaker opponents. Doesn't guarantee wins. We know that, but it gives you a better opportunity to hopefully string some stuff together. So I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out. I don't have high hopes, but I'm not like completely, shutting it off at the same time.
Yeah, listen, the chat's down bad. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I don't blame anybody right now that's feeling sorry for themselves, because we all felt like this was going to be different. And we are looking ourselves in the mirror as we speak right now, and we're coming to grips that our crush doesn't really love us, and that's probably the most disappointing thing one can have at certain points in their life. This Reds team was supposed to be something that they're not, and unfortunately, that's where we're at. And I don't think I can say it any differently. And I don't think anybody can sit here and talk for too long without it being regurgitated. And I don't think anybody can suggest to me that there's something that's a quick fix. None of this is a quick fix. I will say this, Nick. It will require one thing, and it's a matter of when it's going to happen. They need to win a game like they did, like they had a chance to tonight. That's the most infuriating part of all this. They win a close game they had to come back from. They felt kind of gross about it. Now you got your mojo back. All of a sudden, you rattle one off tomorrow, and then you're starting to kind of actually feel like you're back in the season a little bit. And, I'll use my last analogy of the day because I think I'm already over my limit. But tonight kind of felt like we went we were down 20 with 9 minutes left, like I had mentioned. We just went on like an 85-yard drive, and we fumbled at the goal line. And now it's like we're looking around and just saying, is this serious? Is this serious? Like we played so well and we did so many things that should have given us a chance to win. Yet here we are again, can't find a way to win.
Yeah. And tomorrow's a game where you test your character, because these guys, they have to come right back out tomorrow. Hopefully they're not as deflated as we are, because I know I'd have a hard time going back tomorrow. And this is kind of where I guess it goes to the whole getting too high or getting too low during a baseball season, and you know, the whole rah rah and all that kind of stuff. But you have to go back out tomorrow. You have to try to find a way to grind out a win tomorrow.
Yeah, they play pissed off at some point. I'm sure they are. But
it felt like they were a little bit tonight at times. It did. It kind of did. And just, man, I wanted this one. I wanted it bad. All right. Well, all of the traditional Reds minor league teams were off on Monday night. However, the Arizona Complex League's Reds did play. They lost 10-1 to the Mariners. Two players that we are definitely tracking out in Arizona. Sammy Stafura, he was 1-for-5, but did steal a base, his second on the season. Shang-In Lin was 1-for-4 with a walk. Reds minor league teams back in action on Tuesday. Louisville, they'll be playing at the Columbus Clippers. That's the Cleveland Guardians AAA affiliate, 7:05 p.m. Connor Phillips will be taking the ball for the Bats. Phillips just 2-2, 8.28 ERA on the season. Obviously, he's looking to turn his season around. Bats 21-18 on the season. They're 6.5 back in the International League West Division. Double-A Chattanooga, they will be at Birmingham at 7 p.m. Lookouts just 10-23 on the season. They are 10.5 back in the Southern League North Division. High A, the Dayton Dragons, they will be hosting the Great Lakes. I think the Loons is their name. Not looking it up at this late hour. That's at 7:05 p.m. Dayton Dragons just 14-19 on the season. They're 6 back in the Midwest League East Division. And then low A, the Daytona Tortugas, they will be at Clearwater at 6:30 p.m. Tortugas 18-15 on the season. They're 3 games back in the Florida State League East Division. All right, Reds back at it Tuesday night, 9:40. Obviously just looking to stop the bleeding at this point. They'll have Hunter Green on the mound, 1-2, 3.38 ERA, up against Slade Ciccone, 1-2, 4.15 ERA. This, of course, a rematch of last week. Slade Ciccone against the Reds last week, 5 1/3 innings pitched, 3 hits, just 1 run, walked 3, did strike out 2. Jimmer Candelario hit a home run off of Ciccone. Ciccone, he actually has better career numbers in the majors than in the minors. Career 4.25 ERA in the majors, career 4.96 ERA in the minors. He also, to the Reds' benefit, hopefully has pitched much better on the road than at home in his short MLB career. He's got a 6.30 ERA at home versus a 2.83 ERA on the road. And one interesting note on Ciccone, he has not allowed a hit in the first inning of any of his last 4 games. So hopefully the Reds can break that streak on Tuesday night. For the Reds, Hunter Green on the mound. As mentioned, a rematch with Slade Ciccone from last week. Hunter Green in his last start walked 5 batters, gave up 3 earned runs over 5 innings pitched. You might remember his velocity was down about 3 miles per hour, so that'll certainly be something to watch early in this game. Green, however, he's got some good results. Last 3 starts, 1.53 ERA. He's only made 1 start in his career at Chase Field, came last season. It was a really tough one, gave up 5 earned runs over 3 2/3 innings. Active Diamondbacks are 10-42. It's a 2.38 average against Green. Corbin Carroll's 0-4. Ketel Marte's 0-7. Jock Peterson 2-4 with the home run. And Christian Walker 2-6 with a double. Well, thanks so much for listening. If you made it this far to Chatterbox Reds after Reds lose 11 out of 12 games, you are a diehard Reds fan, so we certainly appreciate you. If you could, leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. I'm assuming, again, if you listen this far, you're probably subscribed to this podcast wherever you're at, but do that as well. And then if you could, I don't know, maybe wait a week, maybe wait till the Reds are hopefully playing a little bit better. But if you know a Reds fan, tell them about Chatterbox Reds and what we do here. New podcast every single morning, even after these late starts. We'll have it up for you in your podcast feed bright and early. So if you're not able to stay up, we'll hopefully recap the game, give you some insight, and right now, more therapy than anything else. But better and brighter days coming for our Cincinnati Reds. I do believe that. Still a lot of good young talent with this team, with this organization. Hopefully they can just find a way to turn it around, and hopefully we can smile about times like this when the Reds are hosting a World Series trophy at some point in my lifetime. I believe it's coming. I ever stop believing that, then I'm going to stop watching the Reds. So, but anyways, hope that you have a fantastic Tuesday. We'll see you on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube around midnight or so on Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. And then, of course, it'll be in your podcast feed bright and early on Wednesday morning. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever, go Reds.